Well, good morning and welcome here to Peninsula Bible Church Cupertino. It is so great to hear the loud buzz of all your excitement of being here and seeing one another as a combined service. One body all together as part of the body of Christ. So I encourage you to move in towards the center as people continue to come in. We anticipate that this will be quite full. So, my name is Bernard Bell. I'm one of the pastors here. I've been part of this church family since 1991 and on the pastoral staff since the pastoral staff since 1997. I first got involved in PBC in Palo Alto at the end of 1986. I was not here for opening day. In fact, I had arrived in the U.S. from Europe 2 weeks and 3 days before that. Finally, after 40 years here and 35 years as a permanent resident, I became a U.S. citizen on Wednesday. So, I guess after 40 years, I decided I'm here to stay, and I've been here a while. So. We're so glad to see you here for this special milestone of 40 years. 40 is a significant number in Scripture, 40 years gives us the opportunity to look back and to give thanks, to remember, retell the story, and then also to look ahead in anticipation of what might come in future years. And so our service will include both parts of this. And we invite you to stay around afterwards as we will have lunch together. There'll be food, there'll be pizza and tacos and churros all served so we can enjoy body life as a church family. Well, we have gathered to give thanks to God for his faithfulness through these 40 years. And Israel's scriptures frequently extolled the people, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." And it's that faithful love that we are celebrating. This faithful love is the Hebrew word chesed, which means covenant loyalty to a covenant relationship. And God entered into covenant relationship with his people Israel. He would be loyal to them and to the covenant and to his promises, whether the people were loyal or not. So it depended upon God, not the people. And we find this refrain especially in two locations in the Israel scriptures. In the book of Chronicles, where it appears 7 times at all the most significant moments in Israel's history, as the chronicler is retelling the story to highlight God's faithful love. And then in the book of Psalms, and especially in Psalm 136, where the refrain, "His faithful love endures," occurs in each of the Psalms' 26 verses. Now, I'm not going to read all 26 verses. I'll read the first 9 and the last one. And I will read the first line, and then you as the congregation will respond with this refrain, "His faithful love endures forever." So, and we'll recite this as our call to worship. And I'm going to read it from the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible, because it renders that word chesed with this phrase, "faithful love." Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. He alone does great wonders. He made the heavens skillfully. He spread the land on the waters. He made the great lights. The sun to rule by day. The moon and stars to rule by night. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Well, leading us in thankful worship today, we have our music pastor, James Garcia, and we have back with us special guest Dave Burns from Mount Hermon. And so we're so thankful to have you back, Dave.
And to be here. I was here the opening day on this platform behind this piano, March 5th, 1985.
So 35 years ago, Dave and James were both part of this PBCC body and working. They were both working in the Valley in secular jobs and then using their musical gifts here in the church body. And they're both very talented musicians, but at that time they also wrote several beautiful worship songs that we would sing as a congregation. Now, long ago, I used to wake up to my clock radio. I remember those things. One morning in 1999, I woke up to a familiar song, but in a most unfamiliar setting. It was the NPR morning news. And it was being sung at the memorial service for those killed in the Columbine High School massacre, mass shooting in Littleton, Colorado. And it was a setting of the Lord's Prayer, written by Dave, here at PBCC. And by then, he was music pastor at Foothill Bible Church in Littleton. And it's the most moving setting of the Lord's Prayer. And let's pray. Our loving God, a gracious Heavenly Father, we do indeed bless your name. We have so much to thank you for on this anniversary. We give thanks to you, for you are indeed good, and your faithful love endures forever. The love that you expressed in binding yourself by covenant with people here on earth, and your ultimate goal to draw us into that lasting relationship with yourself. You have made us for your presence, and are determined to bring that to fruition. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom you are bringing this about, and for your Spirit that you pour out into us to transform us and to turn our hearts towards you. We thank you that we are restored people, restored into relationship with you. Thank you for your great goodness in so many different ways and your faithfulness to this church family here. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is a birthday celebration. Tomorrow is the actual 40th anniversary, and birthdays are an occasion, first of all, to look back and to tell stories, origin stories, stories of the birth narrative, as it were, and then also opportunities to look ahead in anticipation of what a coming year or a coming few years might bring. So it's a time for memory, looking back, and a time for hope, looking forward. So I now have the delightful task of telling the story, of looking back and telling our birth narrative. So PBCC got started 40 years ago, but we need to go further back than that, because this church body grew out of PBC in Palo Alto. And so we need to start back almost 80 years ago in the aftermath of the Second World War. During the war, and particularly the Pacific War, the West Coast boomed. There was a lot of defense spending, a lot of passage of troops through the West Coast, and that military expenditure carried on here in the Bay Area after the war. When I arrived in 1985, Lockheed was still the largest employer here in the Valley, and it was that position for several decades. I know some of you still work at Lockheed, but it's sort of a pale shadow of what it used to be when it dominated the Valley and just military spending. And also at that time, Fred Terman was dean of the engineering school at Stanford, and several of his students would go on and found little companies. Hewlett & Packard founded HP in a garage in Palo Alto in 1939. The Varian brothers founded their namesake company in 1951. And Fred Terman was the instigator behind what would become the Stanford Industrial Park. And all of these were sort of initial foundation stones for the birth of Silicon Valley here. So in the late 40s, the valley, full of fruit trees, was growing. New housing developments were being built, and it was a time of change. And in 1948, five Christian businessmen started meeting weekly to talk about how to reach out into this community on the Mid-Peninsula, how to reach out into the Stanford community in particular. There wasn't really any Christian outreach there. So they met weekly to discuss that. That developed into a Bible study, and then that developed into home Bible studies for their friends and their families to supplement the week teaching that they were getting in their mainline churches. And that led to the formation of Peninsula Bible Fellowship. And as that grew, and as these weekly studies grew, on September the 12th, 1948, Peninsula Bible Fellowship began weekly Sunday evening meetings in the Palo Alto Community Center. So that September 12th, 1948 is taken as the birthday of Peninsula Bible Church in Palo Alto. And for these weekly meetings, these five men would invite well-known speakers, the likes of Jack Mitchell of Portland, J. Vernon McGee of Los Angeles, John Walvoord of Dallas Theological Seminary. And these men started to say, you're becoming a church. And you should invite a pastor. And they said, no. But one day in 1950, meanwhile, Peninsula Bible Fellowship had incorporated, had got a P.O. box, and one day three letters arrived in that P.O. box. The same day, written by these three prominent pastors and teachers, all suggesting that they hire Ray Stedman, who was just finishing up at Dallas Seminary. Now, the elders, these five men, still insisted they were not a church, so they did hire Ray, but they hired him to be the executive secretary of the fellowship without a guaranteed salary. He and his wife and their two oldest daughters, the two daughters they had at that point, drove out, and they started here, and his first Sunday was September the 2nd, 1950. Again, an evening service at the Palo Alto Community Center. 2 years later, the fellowship purchased a property, a lot in Midtown Palo Alto, and built a church building, and that had its first service on June 19th, 1955, with J. Vernon McGee preaching. Still an evening service. Reluctantly, it was accepted that finally the fellowship had actually become a church with a building and a pastor, so on. And these five men became the initial board of elders. So right from the get-go, Peninsula Bible Fellowship, as it still was an elder-led church, with Ray then hired to be the teaching, eventually pastor out there. PBC, the fellowship flourished and grew, not least during the Jesus Movement days, exciting times. Several churches were spun out of PBC, or out of the fellowship, and still it kept bursting at the seams and straining relationships in the neighborhood. Eventually, a new entity was incorporated, Peninsula Bible Church, and so that was about 1970, did accept that formally it was a church. It became that. Now, in October 1984, the elders became aware that this property was for sale, and the Korean Glory Church of San Jose was meeting here. The property was owned by the Blaney Avenue Christian Community Church. There were already multiple offers on the facility, some in order to carry on a church here, some to knock it down and put in housing development. But the sellers accepted a late lowball offer from the PBC elders because they wanted a church to remain here. And even though making a low offer, PBC actually didn't really have any money to meet that offer, to honor that offer. But God miraculously provided through gifts that came in unbeknownst as to what the developments were. And so PBC was able to buy this property outright. And then it was run down. It needed extensive renovations. And those were the church body raised the funds for that and provided the labor. And on March the 3rd, 1985, this facility opened for its first Sunday service as PBC South. So who was here that first Sunday? So you'd like to stand up? So, yes. Well, thank you. I knew there would be some. I wasn't expecting quite that many. That's wonderful. That's great. So, and at that first service, during a time of body life, one of the trustees of the previous church stood up and said that the trustees had been praying for a long time that PBC would begin a work in Cupertino. So, PBC remained one church, meeting in two locations with one elder board, but with dedicated preaching pastors at each campus. So three pastors were assigned to PBC North and three to PBC South. And one of the ones at PBC South was Brian. who last summer retired after 50 years on the pastoral staff. Well, after a few years, the elders, by 1989, concluded that those who were based at South did not know enough about what was going on at North and vice versa, and the elder board divided into two for the two campuses, and that began a slow, steady process towards dividing the two churches into separate entities. And at the beginning of 1991, PBC South became independent. That old corporate entity, Peninsula Bible Fellowship, was dusted off and renamed Peninsula Bible Church Cupertino. And years later, it was discovered that this meant that PBC owned the Palo Alto, owned the Cupertino property, and PBCC owned the Palo Alto property. That's, I think, a good reflection on how seemingly haphazard, many of the decisions are that get made. That took years for that to be discovered, and then a while longer for that all to get sorted out so that the appropriate church owned its own property. Well, PBCC at that time was a young church, full of young families. It was plenty baby church. So large was the children's ministry, there was no room for offices, so we rented office space at the corner of Miller and Stevens Creek. The youth ministry grew, so a second youth pastor was brought on board in 1994, and ministry divided into high school and junior high, which later expanded to middle school. There was still no room on the campus, so in 1993-94, a second floor was added to that the long building out there facing this auditorium. Unfortunately, in those days, no elevator was required. I think a situation that's been rude many a time since. And the elders talked for a while about finding another larger site, but concluded that would be a betrayal of the intentions of the church that sold this property at well below market value so that a church could remain here. Still, the congregation grew. 1998, we switched to three services, and that would last for 10 years. So this meant the loss of an extended middle hour between two services when home team was held in Fellowship Hall. 2004, the church offices moved back onto the site, and we somehow managed to squeeze ourselves into nooks and crannies around. We still had three services at that point with over 1,000 adults here Sunday mornings and chairs at the end of the outer end of each pew. And in early 2006, the elders decided that three services was not conducive to a cohesive body life and resolved to shrink to two services by spinning off a new congregation somewhere without it being clear where. The group in Willow Glen quickly identified themselves. They'd been praying for a long time that PBCC might start a work in Willow Glen. And family there hosted an initial prayer meeting in May 19, 2006, and 50 people showed up for that. And they met weekly, and a number of the men involved there were in a men's group with Gary Vanderette, and so he quickly identified that he would be interested in that, but said somebody else should go with him. And later that summer, it was agreed that should be Mark Bucko, and the elders designated him. And that fall, services began Sunday afternoons in the Willow Glen Senior Center, sort of a band in a box, service in a box, and as PBC Willow Glen. Now, in that case, that then sort of became largely independent quite quickly. The elders appointed new elders at the two campuses who would oversee that work, and the existing elders became an oversight board. And PBC Willow Glen got successfully launched. It would subsequently merge with Dwell Church, what had been Willow Glen Baptist Church, and then together they became Willow Glen Bible Church, successfully launched. So we have these three PBC churches, each with its distinct identity, but all growing out of what happened almost 80 years ago, and the prayers of those five men, praying that God would move and open up avenues for ministry. Now, we celebrate the Lord's faithfulness. There has been very little strategic planning, no detailed sort of steps forward. Rather, the elders have made decisions as they've been needed and as the Lord has given guidance. And the Lord has been faithful in ways beyond our imagining. And we look back with tremendous gratitude, and on the basis of that history, we look ahead with confidence that the Lord will continue to lead and will give wisdom to the elders. We're at a time of considerable transition, transition of staff. We have confidence that the Lord, who has provided in the past, will provide in the future. Now, Ray Stebbins' first sermon back in 1950 was from Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. And this passage has remained at the heart of the self-understanding of the PBC churches and how the church functions. So, the risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ has given gifts through the Holy Spirit for the establishment and the growth of his church. And he has gifted some as pastor teachers for the equipping of the saints, so that all of us together do the work of ministry, and that leads to the body of Christ being built up. Christ is the head of the church, not the pastor, not the elders, the staff. It's Christ, it's his church, and we all together are the body. And that's both the staff and the whole community together form the body of Christ. And when we're growing into Christ, and each body part is working properly, then the body grows and it builds itself up in love. And when I first sort of came into the PBC orbit at the end of 1986, when I arrived here in 1985, I'd never heard of Ray Stedman, I'd never heard of PBC. A few months later, in Gospel Bookstore at San Antonio Center, I came across Authentic Christianity. Read that and just absolutely loved it. And when I found my way to PBC Palo Alto and the life I experienced there and this very, very thin line between the pastoral staff and the church body, it's by far the thinnest of any church I've ever been in. I just came alive and have really thrived ever since. So I owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to the life of the body. And it's been a privilege to be part of this for myself nearly 40 years. So that's sort of our birth story. And it's so great to see people who've been part of this church body who have come back to join us for this celebration as I look around and see some familiar faces from long ago. So welcome to you. Well, over the years, the interior of this auditorium has changed. So I want to give a little trip down memory lane. The original auditorium had a period glass window, what I call the Tetris window. And the front was wood paneled. In 1992, the organ pipes were still there, and we had an organ here that Lois Lindquist played. 1994, the pipes were still there. Move on to that next slide, yeah. By 2004, the pipes and the organ were gone. The front had been painted white. There was a single screen in the center, raised and lowered by a garage door opener that could be triggered. Could be triggered by neighbors. Even in the middle of a service. Yes, those were the fun days. And by 1996, the old window was leaking and needed replacing. And February 2007, our new window was installed. And this window has become iconic and now features in stylized form as our new church logo. It is backlit at night as a proclamation to the neighborhood of God's story, and also that there remains here on Blaney Avenue a church set amidst a neighborhood of houses and apartments and with foot traffic on the sidewalk outside. And that is such a rarity these days. We are tremendously privileged to live surrounded by houses, people living right next door, and to have people walking along the street passing our church building. Once a week on Wednesday afternoons, we invite the kids in to tea on the patio, the kids from Collins Elementary School and the kids from Lawson Middle School, and it's just great to see the life there as they come onto the patio out here. Well, we are thankful that those elders 40 years ago rejected top dollar to put houses here so that they might continue to be a church in this location as a beacon of light, and that particularly there should be a branch of Peninsula Bible Church here as a beacon of light. So may God grant us the grace to carry this legacy forward into the years ahead. Thanks be to God. Our loving God and Father, we thank you for all these evidences of you being at work here in this church family, that you have been at work in Christ Jesus and through your Spirit. We thank you that we now have as our head the Lord Jesus Christ, head of the body, and that he nourishes the body through your Spirit. And we thank you for all the growth that there has been here within this place, all that you have done. Thank you for the elders. Thank you how you have led them. Thank you for the people that you have brought along at the right time to join the pastoral staff, and as people have come and have gone, and for all the growth of the body and just the amazing ministry that has taken place here from the ministry of the saints, as people have been equipped and have grown into Christ Jesus, and that has brought about the growth of the body and the overflow of the spiritual life within people, overflowing to blessing others around them. We pray that that would continue. We thank you for your faithful love expressed in so many different ways, and the wonder of the body of Christ, and what a beautiful thing that is. That you brought into existence. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for your Spirit, and pray that your Spirit would continue to move among us and to spur us on. And we thank you for your faithful love in Jesus' name. Amen.
And good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Hedin Kwan, and I am the newest member of our pastoral staff here. Where was I in March of 1985? I was in existence. It was just in my mom's belly. So it's kind of wild for me to be up here today, this morning, with you all, just hearing all the stories of God's faithfulness over the last 40, 50, 60 years. My history at PBCC doesn't go all the way back there. I was just hired 1.5 years ago, here in the fall of 2023. But my experience of PBCC really starts in the fall of 2017. That's when my husband, Eugene, and I, with 12-month-old William, first came through these doors. We had just left our previous church, where we had both experienced some pretty severe burnout. We were exhausted, We were still in a lot of emotional pain. The singing had already started that Sunday morning as we came to find our seats in this auditorium, and James Garcia was leading us from the stage. And as with many first-time visitors to a church, I was eager to know what the worship experience felt like here. And I was thankful to discover that this worship pastor was not only an amazing musician, but also had such a natural way of ushering us into the presence of God. It was the first time in a long time that I found myself completely free and able to worship in God's presence and even cry during congregational worship. As I looked around during that time through my tear-stained eyes, I saw the colorful makeup of our congregation, of this congregation, the multiple ethnicities and nations represented here, and everyone from babies to grandparents, just like today. And it greatly encouraged me to see a little glimpse of heaven right here in this room. And as we continued in our worship that Sunday, Sean Rees opened up the Beatitudes to us from the Gospel of Matthew. And I listened with my heart and my throat to that simple but powerful message of the upside-down nature of the kingdom of God. It was exactly what my world-weary soul needed to hear. But then after the sermon, an even more amazing and unexpected thing happened. The mic began to be passed around to people in the congregation who started sharing about their personal struggles and their personal victories. And I think it was in the middle of this time of body life that I finally said to myself, this is a church that's doing church. I had never seen a church not just say that they're about community, but actually act out that community as a part of the Sunday service in such a real way. So since that day at PBCC, after the Lord led us back here in 2021, I've received and I've grown so much. I've laughed and cried with Michelle Burke's small group through Brian Morgan's Psalms class. I've asked hard questions and received amazing insights into scripture through the women of Esther Paskey's Thursday morning group. I've received wise counsel from Sharon Coleman and found the people I want to grow up to be in Brenda Poon, Lois Lindquist, Charlene Wurst, and basically all the leaders of women's Bible study. It really moves me to think about all the ways that God has used PBCC to bless its people. It is such a rare thing, my friends, and having come from other churches in the past, it is such a rare thing to find a community where for 40 years, there has been strong biblical teaching, long-lasting fellowship groups, and a passion for doing life and ministry together as equals. And it has all been due to the work of God through our people. All of you, especially of the older generation and those who have passed on ahead of us. We honor you deeply and we praise God that he has set us on a great course for the future. And so we do look to the future of PBCC today, even as we celebrate all that has been. If the Lord's work in and among us is to continue, then a new generation of the faithful must rise up. When I was considering applying for the position of women's pastor at a church 2 years ago, I providentially attended a conference at a church up in Sacramento. At that conference, the speaker directly addressed those of us who were in our 30s and 40s. She told us that it was time for us to step out of the shadows and into the work in front of us. It was a nudge for the people of my generation to be brave and to step into our various God-given gifts, experiences, and passions for his kingdom. Those words really encouraged me to take on this role, and I believe it is a relevant word for my peers today. So, my fellow millennials, it is time to step away from under the shadows of youth and self-doubt. Of the kind of attitude that says, oh, someone else will do it. There is no one else whom God has made that is just like you for just this time. Yes, amen. Without your gifts, your creativity, your ministry, and the activation of your God-given desires, the church is unable to be the full body of Christ. The indispensability of each part of the body is exactly what the Apostle Paul was addressing in his letter to the Corinthians. In chapter 12, 15 to 18, he says, "Now if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. The Lord has made each of us as we are for a purpose. Let us hear this word of the Lord calling us, all of us, not just my generation, but of all generations, to move forward into those places where your particular gifts and joy and passion meet the needs of the church and the world around us." Now, this commitment to being the body of Jesus Christ in this world has always been an important value of Peninsula Bible Church from its very beginnings, as we've heard many, many times, even just this morning. Being the body of Jesus Christ in this world, it is a value that we still hold dearly as we continue to be a church in a changing world. The world we now live in is very different from the world 40 years ago, right? It is a world that is deeply divided over theological, political, and social issues. It is a world that is skeptical of institutions like church. It is a world that has instant access to so many conflicting and artificial information that people are left more lost and more lonely than ever before. So if we as a church are to be the living, breathing, bodily representation of Jesus in this world, what questions do we need to be asking ourselves? What do we need to pay attention to? What kind of community does the Lord desire us to be in the place and the time that we are in? These are the questions that Ray Stedman and others asked 60 years ago in Palo Alto, as we've heard, at another time when the world seemed to be changing too quickly. His wife, Elaine, recalled those turbulent years of the Vietnam War, political upheaval, and the hippie movement, where many countercultural young people were looking for Jesus and belonging. This is her description of what happened next, and I love this quote. "PBC, that quiet, well-ordered congregation, was caught in the middle of these baffling, frightening phenomena. Jesus himself was asking admittance for barefoot, bearded escapees from the kingdom of darkness. With fear and trembling, we opened our doors. They tinkered with our self-righteousness, infected us with their contagious excitement, and shattered our complacency. And I finally had to give up my hat and gloves." What a powerful, powerful witness to the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what a courageous move of obedience in the midst of chaos and fear. So, what about us? And what about now? As we look around at where we are, located, the cities of Cupertino, Santa Clara, Sunnyvale, Saratoga, San Jose, what do we see? Who are our neighbors? Who are the disenfranchised, the disillusioned, the different? The ones that Jesus is asking admittance for. As we look at the times that we are in, what do we see? Where's the darkness, the strongholds of the powers and principalities at work in our decade? What are the troubles and needs of this generation that only Jesus can address? And how has he equipped us uniquely to be his hands, his feet, his mind, and his heart? Throughout Scripture, we see the people of God fulfilling God's purposes for their particular generation. Moses' time was for the wilderness, faithfully leading the Exodus generation out of slavery. David is said to have passed on after he had fulfilled the purposes of God in his own generation. Esther was raised up to be the right person for just the right time at just the right place. So we too have been called to divine purpose at such a time as this. Perhaps it's to show a graceless and self-serving world the cross-bearing, sacrificial love of Christ. Perhaps it's to show a greedy and consumeristic world the way of generosity and contentment. Perhaps it's to show a hostile and divisive world the transforming power of Christ in us. A group of people diverse in perspective, personality, age, gender, ethnicity, and class, but baptized by one Spirit, united under one Lord. In what ways can Peninsula Bible Church Cupertino be the body of Jesus Christ right where we are and right at this time? And as we move forward together as a church, let us be contemplating these matters. And let us not grow weary in meeting together and encouraging one another towards the purposes of God. And as we do so, may he raise up many more generations of the faithful. Amen. Well, at this time, we want to take some time to pray together as a congregation in prayer for our future. And for that, Eugene will be leading us.
So I am Eugene. I am the husband that she referred to. Thank you, Heading, for that word. I am also one of the teaching pastors here, which is something that I owe to the grace of God. But it's a grace that was working through a particular individual who I can just barely make out behind the shoulder of his wife back in the corner. And he's going to hate that I'm going to do this, but I am going to do this. Sean, thank you. Thank you for being, yes. After that series in the Beatitudes, there was some other a series that we went through that ended up seeing my wife and I and William here at this church for several months, but it was actually during his preaching on Easter of 2017. That sermon that you delivered actually led me to a reflection that would end up altering the course of so much of my life. At that point, I had decided I never wanted to be a pastor again. I wasn't even sure if I was a Christian, actually. But through your steady faithfulness, both in the word, but also just as a friend, reaching out to us, making room for us in your life. I think it was Suzanne who ended up inviting us, or having the idea to invite us over for dinner. Still have strong memories of William playing with a train set on the carpet while Sean and I talked in the backyard, and I don't even know what we talked about, but somehow I knew that I was safe and I was loved, and that became my experience here at PBCC as well. So I wanted to thank you for that. Thank you, brother. I do want to lead us in a time of prayer, which is a very kind of daunting thing for me to do, as I know that many of you have been praying for PBCC longer than I've been alive. So with great fear and trembling, I have some thoughts on how we might pray for PBCC in the future. And the first one is this. I was struck by what you said, Heading, that if the Lord's work in and among us is to continue, then a new generation of the faithful must rise up. And that's a rising that we cannot accomplish on our own will and our own strength. So, could we take a moment to pray that God would instill our congregation, all of us here, with bravery and courage to step forward into our gifts and callings? And as we pray for that bravery and courage to step forward, can we also pray that God would match those gifts and callings to the specific needs of a new generation really in need of Jesus? That he would show us how those things fit together, how we fit into the needs of this world, the way that Jesus fit himself into our need when he came down from heaven to earth to be among us. Can we take a moment to pray for this bravery, this courage, and this union between all that God has called us to and all the world needs to experience of Jesus? Let's take a moment to do that. God, would you fill us with courage and hope, Lord God, and confidence, Lord, not in ourselves or in our abilities. Oh God, would you fill us, Lord, with your faithfulness, Lord God, with your knowledge of your goodness to us, God, that we may trust and not be afraid, that we may run and not grow weary. Lord, if there's any burden, Lord, or doubt, or anxiety or anything holding us back from stepping forward. God, give us obedience, oh my God. And God, would you show us, Lord, would you show us, would you guide us into the needs of a world, Lord, desperately in search of you, God. Would you help us to see, Lord God, the hurting around us and the needs around us. And Lord God, fill us, Lord, with openness, God. The same openness that you have testified to throughout the history of this church, oh Lord, that has been the testimony of this church. God, lead us in openness to the needs of those around us. As we think about the needs of this next generation, it makes sense for us to pray for the members of that generation among us. Let's look around this room. You've been hearing them, I'm sure. The children in our body who have joined us this all throughout the service today. When we look at them, do we see, do we understand, do we feel, are we sensitive to their needs and how they need to see Jesus as they grow and mature? Can we pray for them that they would know Jesus, that they would know God in whatever way they need to know him, in the way that makes sense for them to know him, in the way that will lead them into deeper discipleship, deeper faithfulness to him? Because after all, we're not just looking at our children, we're not just looking at the next generation of whatever, we're looking at the future. We're looking at the future of our church, and not just our church, but of Christianity itself. We're looking at the future of Christ's body. So let's take a moment to pray for God to grow the children in our body in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with people. That just like Christ, just like Samuel, that they would grow as people in this generation who are devoted to the Lord and ready to do his will. Can we take a moment and pray for that as well? Heavenly Father God, Lord, we lift up to you our children, God. We lift up to you, Lord God, our kids. Lord God, that you would bless them, Lord. Each of them, Heavenly Father. Lord God, these kids, that they would grow, Lord, in your love and in your truth, God. That they might know you, that they might be filled with your love. They may know your truth, oh Lord God. Bless, Lord God, that you make them, Lord. Men and women, Lord God, who are devoted to you. Reveal yourself to them, oh God. Lord God, show yourself to them, Lord. And let us see, Lord, what they really need, oh God. Father God, would you fill us, Lord God? The knowledge of them and understanding, Lord. And may they know you, God. May they actually seek to see you, Lord God. Would you speak to them, Lord, in the only way that you can, God? Would you help them, Heavenly Father, and minister to them, Lord God, and grow them in wisdom, Lord. Let them know your word and grow them in character, Lord, and in strength, Lord. God, may they be like Christ, and may they be like Samuel, Lord. When they now follow after you, God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We just ask, God, that you bless them with your grace and all the benefits that we've received. May they know and really grow into, Lord, make them effective, God. We have two more topics I'd like for us to pray for. The next one is, since we've prayed for our next generation, let's pray now for our leaders, the leaders of our congregation, the leaders of our church, those entrusted with the responsibilities of leadership. By that, I'm referring to our elders, I'm referring to our pastors, our small group leaders, our connection group leaders, our Sunday school teachers. teachers, anyone who holds a position of leadership in our church, just want to ask if you could, I know this may not be, I didn't prepare you for this, but could I ask you to stand up? Part of your stepping out, right, in bravery and in courage and faith. And as you look around, brothers and sisters, just look at the person nearest to you. And can we pray for that leader? You may not know their name and you may not know what they're leading. You may not know what they're doing or how they're doing it. But can we pray that God would bless them and empower them, that God would strengthen them? And you know, if you're not sure if this if you qualify as one, just go ahead and stand, because who doesn't need the prayer, right? Who couldn't benefit from a little prayer? I see you right over here. I think we need, we got to stand, KP. Come on, right? Let's pray. We're going to pray upon these brothers and sisters that God would give them a spirit of wisdom that really manifests in love for God and in love for neighbor. That is all the wisdom and discernment they need. That's all the empowerment they need to be faithful. So let's pray that upon them, that God would fill them with such a love for God and such a love for neighbor. Let's do that now. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we thank you for these leaders. God, and we pray that you would minister to them, God, that you would empower these brothers and sisters, that you'd give them wisdom and discernment, Lord God, a fear of the Lord. Lord God, that is true wisdom, Lord God. A fear of the Lord, that is true wisdom, and a devotion to you, O Lord. A trust in you, Lord God, that gives them true peace, Lord. True clarity, so that no decision they make, Lord, is out of fear or doubt or anxiety, O Lord God. But in real confidence, Lord, may they know your love for them. And may they walk forward in grace, Heavenly Father. God, be with our brothers and sisters. Heavenly Father, minister to them, O God. Let them receive your grace, O God. Let them receive your goodness, O Lord. Give them love for their brothers and sisters, Lord. God, fill them so deeply with their belovedness, with confidence in it, that they may overflow in love for others, God. God, guide their thinking and shape their hearts, O Lord. Grow them and mold them and lead them, Heavenly Father. God, we thank you, Lord, for these leaders. Brothers and sisters, you may be seated. Let's lastly pray for those leaders who haven't yet joined our leadership. Those leaders who haven't yet joined our staff. As many of you know, we are in a time of transition. And although, you know, some things still remain unknown, we do know that we will be needing more people to join our staff. So let's pray for God. Lead to us the individuals that he wants to use to help lead PBCC into the future. Let's pray for them as God is working in their hearts, preparing them for just this task. And let's also pray for God to give our existing leadership discernment, our body discernment, to recognize them when God brings them through these doors. So let's pray for the unknown brothers and sisters who will join us in our leadership of this ministry. Let's pray for our own hearts to be prepared for them when they arrive. Let's pray for that. Father God, we thank you for your grace, God. We ask, Lord, that you would minister to us, that you would provide for us, God, what we cannot do for ourselves. God, you know the pastors, Lord God, and the leaders that we need for this congregation. God, would you give us a full equipage, Lord God, that we might do the ministry you've called us to do, that we might disciple faithfully, that we might care deeply, that we might build up relationships of discipleship, compassion, and of care, Heavenly Father, and that you would provide for us, Lord, that you would give us all that we need, Lord, because, God, if you do not do it, Lord, nothing will be done. Lord God, you are the one who builds the house. You are the one who watches on the walls, Lord. Provide us manna in the wilderness, Lord God. You make water flow from the rock, oh God. God, we cannot exist apart from you, God. So God, we pray that you would give us exactly what we need, Lord God. And in confidence, God, help us, Lord, to step out in faith and make bold choices, Lord God, to trust you, not to be afraid. God, give us insight and wisdom to know, Lord, and to recognize those that you've called, Lord. God, minister to us, Heavenly Father, and be with us, Lord. Heavenly Father, we have come before you with these prayer requests. And we do this not as some kind of symbolic ritual, something that we do because we're Christians and because we're at church. Heavenly Father, we pray to you because we need you. We need you to lead us. We need you to provide for us, God. We need you to grow us, to fill us with your Spirit, to empower us to all the ministry that you have laid out for us to do. Lord God, our story is a long one, but it's not one that can be told apart from your grace. It's not one that can be told apart from you making it happen, you picking up your pen and writing it into history. Lord, if you do not build the house, God, the house will not be built. If you do not watch on the walls, Lord God, then the city will be taken. Lord, we come before you in total dependence and reliance on you. We can do nothing apart from your grace. And so we ask you to give us what we need. That we ask you, God, to give us what we need, not just to perpetuate, Lord God, stories and experiences, even a brand name of a church. We ask you to perpetuate your body and your work in this world. We ask you to continue, Lord God, bringing people into the knowledge of your Son through this place, Lord, through this ministry, through this church, through this body, God. We ask that you would reveal yourself to our neighbors, Lord God, who are spending their Sundays just a few yards away from us, Lord God, who desperately need to know you, God. We ask that you would do these things for us and that you would give us what we need to do them, that you would give us the leaders that we need, God, that you would give us the staff members that we need, that you would give us, Lord, volunteers and brothers and sisters stepping forward into their giftings and callings. God, we need you to move hearts. We need you to provide. So God, in great desperation to you, in great dependence on you, God, we lift up this prayer and we know you hear it. You've been faithful and good. For the last 4 decades, you've proven that to us again and again and again and again. And so we leave our prayers, Lord God, in your ears, knowing you know exactly what to do with them. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite our brother Brian Morgan to come and lead us in communion.
Thank you, Eugene. I get the best part. It's so healthy in the midst of terrible times, frightful times, that we do what we did today. To look back, perspective for 40 years, to look ahead. Roots and wings, the Spanish poet Ron Nguyen writes, but let the wings take root and the roots fly. And I'd be little remiss to say, I came through the doors of PBC with Emily in 1968, barely teenagers. We actually went to a Body Life service in our bathing suits. And I mean, it was a miracle that I even went to Stanford because I had a full scholarship to USC. There was no logical reason to go to Stanford. My folks were a little upset that they had to pay for it. It was $600 a quarter back then. But what a gift to be discipled. I was going to go to seminary, and I'll never forget Jim Heaton, an elder, saying to me, "Why don't you stay here? We'll give you all the seminary training you want while you're a pastor." On-the-job training. I had no idea. But for me, it was the best education in the world. godly men and women, traveling around the world with Ray Stedman, meeting the best scholars in the country, Bruce Waalke, who mentored me for 40 years. Life-giving stuff to shape a life, all for free. That's grace. And what's been very special as a part of that has been communion, the most precious thing we get. Because in that case, we don't go back 40 years, we go back 2,000 years. And we go ahead to when he comes again, to a new heaven and a new earth. And that's the perspective that keeps us sane in a world that has gone mad. The love of Christ, never failing, chesed love, loyal love. And so when we go back in time, we think of a suffering Lord, a Lord who loved the poor, took in the immigrants, healed the blind, loved the outcast, was hated by the establishment, refused the way of the rich. And that suffering then, as we take the bread and the wine, we take in that kind of life to become that kind of person who loves the poor and becomes poor that many become rich, who loves our neighbor no matter what they look like, who self-sacrifices for the beauty and the love of Christ. That's what the bread and wine do. We eat that meal. And we eat it until that day when he will take a towel and serve us himself in a new heaven and a new earth, whose beauty is so dazzling the prophets can't even describe it, but in apocalyptic metaphors. And we'll be together, one family of all nations, all peoples, no racial discrimination, age discrimination, sexual discrimination. We will all be the bride of Christ. So it's my pleasure and honor to be the one to share the meal with you. First, the bread. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is the body of Christ given generously for you. Eat in remembrance of him." So now if you'll take your bread. Eating, he gave the blessing, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Hamotzi Lechem Min HaAretz. Blessed be the Lord God, the King of the universe, that gives bread from the earth. Amen. And then he took the cup for which he was to say, Abba Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but your will be done. So to willfully take the wrath of God for all nations and all sins, reluctantly yet obediently. And now his life is poured out without measure through the gift of his Holy Spirit. So the Lord blessed the cup and said, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Borei Peri Hagafen. Blessed be you, O Lord God, King of the universe, that gives the fruit of the vine, my blood. But according to the promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found in him without spot or blemish and at peace.
Good morning, Peninsula Bible Church family. Yvonne and I are so blessed to remember that Sunday, that first Sunday 40 years ago in March 1985. We were sitting in the pew along with many of you. And after 40 years, it's clear that God has been faithful to the ministry there and has worked through the ministry and through your lives as well. Everyone that's walked through those doors has been blessed in some way. And we are so privileged to be able to have seen that. I'm reminded of a passage in Lamentations where the writer says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Now today, you're beginning a new chapter, and we look forward to what God will do with this ministry. And I want to pray for you as Paul prayed for the church in Corinth. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, both now and in the years ahead. Amen. Blessings to you all.
Greetings to my brothers and sisters at PBCC. It's with great memories of our past and confident hope in the future that I celebrate with you on this significant occasion of your 40th anniversary. I had the unbelievable privilege and joy of serving for 22 of those 40 years as a pastor and elder. Kathy and I are so grateful for the years we shared together, the deep relationships and friendships that were formed, many of which still remain strong. We are overwhelmed by God's grace and goodness. You move forward on a great foundation. He has allowed us to witness lives transformed, families restored, and hearts ignited with a passion for His Word. His Spirit has moved among us, binding us together in love, equipping us for service, and sending us forth as beacons of light in our community. I look to the future of PBCC with great hope. May this church continue to be a place where God's Word is proclaimed clearly, where the weary find rest, the broken find healing and freedom, and all who enter encounter the love of Christ. May the next 40 years be marked by an even greater outpouring of the Spirit, with new generations rising up to carry the mantle of faith and a deepening of commitment to His kingdom work. Bless your people, Lord. Strengthen their hands, encourage their hearts, and grant them wisdom for the journey ahead. May they walk forward together in unity, ever seeking your face, ever trusting your plans, ever rejoicing in the goodness of your love. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine, to Him be the glory in this church, in Christ Jesus, and in all generations forever and ever. Amen. May God bless you.
As you enter a fifth decade of meeting in this place, receive this benediction. We thank you, God, for providing guidance, wisdom, faithfulness, and love over PBCC these 40 years. We thank you for all who have worshiped and served here in the past and all those who continue to worship and serve in the future. May you, God, continue to guide this body of Christ into a new decade. May you provide pastors and elders needed wisdom and strength and grace to lead. May the preaching of your word continue to stir hearts, causing salvation and growth. May this body of believers be set free from both sin and law to be led by the Spirit. May the Spirit bring unity among this flock. May diversity be embraced so many gifts can flourish. May this church be a safe place where people are welcomed and can find healing. May your love for each one here flow outward, yielding love and compassion for one another. And grant, Lord, that this church body would be a light of Jesus in the Cupertino community. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
And all God's people said,